Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 42. Episode 42, we're at 10 episodes less than a year, right? Something like that. I've been doing it about once a week. There was a couple of glitches, and there may be a glitch this coming week. There already is one. I'm kind of recording this a little bit later because this is surgery week. I'm recording this on a Wednesday. I'm going in on Friday to finally have my first hip surgery, which, gosh, this thing has been going on for so long. I hadn't been diagnosed properly because I didn't have insurance, and then I finally got insurance, and it took a long time to get insurance. I got insurance because of a company that sprung up that accepts pre-existing conditions, which is part of the Obamacare thing. I know that I don't want to get into political things here, but, I got to vote for the guy just for that. I don't agree with a lot of his other stuff, some of his other stuff, but what am I going to do? What am I going to do? The man got me and helped to get me insurance. I owe him something. I owe him a vote. Okay? All right. And besides, Romney's already said that if he gets in, he's not getting rid of that part of the Obamacare. That's what he said. First he said he was going to get rid of it. Now he says he's not. And as my friend Deb said, although all the insurance companies were kind of gearing up for this anyway. And so whatever. Whatever is what I'm saying. I've got insurance. I've got a good doctor. I'm going to Cedars-Sinai Hospital. It's a, you know, the hospital that my people started, I believe. It's kind of is it a Jewish hospital? I don't know. It was started by Jews, I believe. Cedars-Sinai. But anyway, so it's a journey, and the journey continues, and I got to go through this, and I'm looking forward. You know, I've never been great with medical things, but now I don't want to demonize it anymore. I want to embrace the good parts of it, you know, and I think I'm embracing the good parts of it. So the anticipation has been just amazing. I feel like, it almost feels like I'm getting married. You know, like the big day's coming. I'm getting married. I'm getting my married to my new hip. Al, do you take this lawfully wedded hip to be your, do you take this whip? Do you take this hip to be your lawfully wedded hip? I do. And what happened to you? What happened to your old hip? Well, we got divorced. It wasn't working out. Listen, we were together for decades. And then we grew apart. We grew apart a long time ago. Okay? So, so people keep asking me, when's the surgery? People keep asking me, you know, when my surgery is. The date, and even though, certain people have asked me repeatedly, which leads me to believe that they're not listening to the answer. So, it's this Friday, and I just got my call time. I just got you got to get like a time when, and I'm the opening surgical act. I'm coming in as the opening act. I got to be there really early. I got to be there at 6 in the morning. Deb is going to pick me up at 5 a.m., I mean, I don't go to bed till 5 a.m. I might just end up staying up all night. But I won't be smoking cigars because he can't drink any water, any food after midnight. So I'm not going to, I'm not going to have any cigars, after midnight. I might not even have any cigars Thursday because, we'll see. You know how I am with my cigars. I'm still loving my cigars. I'm still attached to them. I will let them go at some point, I believe. I believe that's going to happen, but it just hasn't happened yet, okay? And I'm sorry to the people who don't like the smell of cigars that are around me. But actually, the people that I'm around in my immediate area here seem to enjoy it, actually. But other people in the building, I don't smoke outside anymore. Because, anyway, that's a whole other story. I don't want to get into that now. I just want to concentrate on the surgery. I'm the opening act. 6 a.m., I got a call time. 7 a.m., I go in, and I should be out by around 8. And then I think by that afternoon, they have me up walking, and we start the whole healing process. You know, and my friend Jude, she had surgery a few years ago from the same doctor, same hospital. And she was telling me, you know, I mean, her experience is her experience, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be my experience. But she told me, you know, the water, she said, at Cedars-Sinai is horrible. Bring your own water. And she said the food was horrible. Now, I've heard the food was good there. So, I don't know. So, she has me all kind of like, I got to bring my own water? What am I, freaking Arrowhead? What am I, Sparklets? Will the Sparklets man come to my room? So, we'll see. We'll see about that. And then I want to bring my iPhone. And then Deb was telling me, like, no. She goes, maybe you shouldn't because they tell you not to bring valuables, like your wallet. Well, they say to bring your wallet, but don't bring cash. Don't bring credit cards. Because they're concerned about theft. And I say, fine, but I mean my iPhone. I got to be connected. I don't want to just be connected. I want to be able to text. I also write my notes in my phone and for my podcast and other things. So Deb was getting me kind of paranoid. I go, oh, you know, she goes, yeah, you know, maybe you shouldn't do it. And so I called the doctor's office and they said, well, you know, during surgery, you know, you can't bring your cell phone in during, you can't have it during surgery, which wasn't something I was actually thinking of. I wasn't thinking of, texting while they're doing my surgery, mainly because I won't be conscious. I'll be sleeping. Okay? But then I asked, can I bring it into my room? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, my friend was concerned about the theft. You know, you have drawers, but you don't really, you know, have locks on them. She goes, nah, nobody's going to steal your phone. That's what she said. Plus, I have insurance on that for that eventuality if it's lost or stolen. But I don't want it to be lost or stolen. We're just going to put it out there, and I'm going to bring it with me and have Deb hold it, you know, while I'm undergoing the surgery. And, that's that, you know, and the girl at the doctor's office says, listen, remember, you got to be there on time. I said, I'll be there on time. I mean, I know I have to be there at 6 a.m. My friend Deb is picking me at 5 a.m., you know, and I'm considering just pulling into the garage at midnight and sleeping in the car, okay, just so I'm there. Like I'm waiting to buy tickets to a Bruce Springsteen concert or something. So that's that. Some people have been saying to me lately, yeah, you look nervous. You look worried. Well, yeah, I mean, who wouldn't be? This is not my everyday thing, you know, going into the hospital. I think I'm fairly calm about it. I think I'm more calm than I would have been, say, a year ago or 6 months ago, because I've had time to process this. And during the process of this, processing all this, I have come to an understanding that, you know, sometimes you just got to surrender. You got to go with the flow. What am I going to do? I'm in bad shape with these hips. And I've got no other choice, you know. And so, I've exhausted every other option, you know. Although I'm still open to Jesus coming down and letting me touch the hem of his garment and just going, boom, dude, you're good. And I'll cancel the surgery and take everybody out for breakfast. And I say Jesus in the, not so much the Christian sense, but in the Jewish sense, in the universal sense. You know, Jesus is, you know, because, you know, he was a big healer. I don't want to offend my Jewish listeners. I don't want to offend my Christian listeners. So that's that. You know, I'm looking for, I'll have more on this as time, you know. I'll probably have a whole bunch of stuff through my experience going, you know, through the hospital and the surgery. One thing, I haven't heard from the hospital administrative office. They're supposed to call and get my insurance information and give me some, you know, talk. And my doctor's office said, they said, listen, if they give you a different call time, don't listen to them. Only listen to us. Our call time is the only real call time. It's like, what is there going to be like a friggin', you know, like a bidding war over the call time? No, we don't want him to open. He's not an opening act. That's the hospital talking. He's a feature or a headliner. You know, and then the doctor goes, oh, no, we want him to open. He's good. He's strong. He'll warm up the crowd. He'll warm up the operating room. Warm up the doctors. You know? So, anyway, I'm feeling pretty good about this. I think it's all going to work out pretty well. And then the healing process will, you know, be healing. I'm going to be doing, I guess, a lot of walking. I'm going to have physical therapy. It's going to be great, man. It's going to be great. Because I'm going to get my mobility back. And then, in a few months, I go and get the second one, and my friend Jude says, once you get the first one done, because you got one strong hip, the second one is a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake. I don't know what kind of cake it is, but it's a piece of cake. So, you know. And it's so funny. I've been telling everybody, even people I don't know, I'm getting surgery. I'm getting surgery. You know, and some people have had interesting reactions. Some people say, oh, that's so exciting. Which is, you know, I could think of many more exciting things to do with my time than going into an operating theater. I like the way they call it, operating theater. I guess, you know, it is a theater. Maybe, I wonder if they're going to have, like, festival seating. Maybe scalpers outside, you know, yo, check it out, man. Check it out. We got a hip surgery, Al Berman hip surgery, man. Tickets to Al Berman hip surgery. Why do I always have to make the scalpers black? I know it could be a white guy with sort of like a, you know, ghetto-y black accent. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be offensive. But that's my go-to hustler, because I'm from the East Coast, and that's where, you know, predominantly the hustlers there were black and Latino, okay? I mean, you know, I'm sorry, okay? I don't mean to offend anybody. That's just, you know, I love all peoples. I'm not saying that all blacks and Latinos are hustlers. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? Don't make me explain myself. So that's that, you know. And then my friend Jude said, I can't wait to hear all about it. Oh, really? Okay, I'll tell you. So Jude was so sweet. She went out and bought me washcloths in case I need to take sponge baths. And I'm not allowed. I didn't have any washcloths. I'm not allowed, because she wasn't allowed to take showers for three weeks or so because of her situation. But her experience is her experience. My experience will be mine, okay? Okay, so let's just get that thought going. Okay. So I had to go to a pre-op physical the other day to my new internist, who's, you know, I really like this guy. And he's from Iran originally. He's a Jewish guy from Iran. And, you know, he's the one that discovered that my blood pressure was a little bit high. And so he's put me on blood pressure medication. And we're just going to see, and he's told me that if it's hereditary, no matter what, he's actually, you know, he reiterated this the other day. He said, listen, you've lost weight, you're going to keep losing weight, you're going to get in great shape. But I just want to be clear, he said, that, you know, sometimes when it's hereditary, no matter how great the shape is, you can't get the blood pressure down without medication, you know. And I said, okay, cool, thank you for, you know, for explaining that to me. And I was telling that to my dad, and my dad goes, you know, what do you mean hereditary? Only your mother has it. I said, that's pretty, you can't get more hereditary than my mom, right? The person whose body I, you know, blasted out of back in the day, I think that's pretty hereditary, Dad. I mean, the only other hereditary would be you. And you don't have it. You know, my dad's he's in fantastic shape. Good for him. Good for him. And what else? I don't know what else I'm going to talk about. I know. I was going to talk about, so I had to do these tests. And one test I had to do was these lung capacity tests, where they give you this, you hold in, you take in a deep breath, and then you blow into this little kind of funnel machine. And I was doing it, but the machine, was something wrong with the machine. It wasn't hooked up properly. And I kept having to do it and do it. She wasn't getting a reading. I was like, come on, I got a lot of breath that's happening here. We're wasting valuable breath. You know, you don't get to sit, I'm going to have to start charging you by the breath. And then finally she got it in. And then she gave me an EKG, which I've never had. You know, and that was okay. I don't know, that was kind of uneventful. And then they sent me down to... they sent me down to. They also made you. They take some blood and some urine sample, which is quite humiliating. And then they sent me down to this room where they had this heart ultrasound, and this nice Armenian guy named George was there. But when I first walked into the room, it was very kind of like dimly lit and quiet. And I walk in, and he was on the other. It was a small room, but he was on the other side of the room. I didn't see him until I actually entered the room, and he was just standing there quietly. And I like. And he's kind of, you know, broad. And I go, oh, you scared me. I go, you look like a hitman. You know, looked like he was going to take me out. And so he said to me, hey, take off your shirt, please. And I said to him, I hardly know you. Hi. So I took off my shirt, and then he had me lay down, and he checked out different parts of my circulation and my heart. And so I was watching it, the picture of it. It would just look like an ocean. The ultrasound picture looked like an ocean, and the actual sound, it kind of sounded like a hip hop track, like a. In the doctor's office, and I'm getting my ultrasound. Next thing you know, I'm going to get me a pound. I'm sitting over here waiting for you. Hey, why don't you just check out this Jew? Yo, it's me doing a little freestyling. And so everything seemed to check out well. And then the doctor came in. I like the doctor. He had other people do all this stuff. He's just walking around the office with his lab coat on, going, hi, I'm a doctor. Hi, I study. I'm the guy. I just tell you what to do. And when I was doing the ultrasound, me and this Armenian guy, George, were talking about food, and I was talking about Armenian food, and we're talking about Jewish food, and he's telling me about some great restaurants, and that some of them, like, it didn't sound like they were exactly heart healthy, okay? And but we had a good conversation, and it was nice. He made me comfortable. And then afterwards, after we got done, my doctor came in and he said, hey, yeah, it looks good. And then I mentioned, I said, you know, Armenians, there are no Armenian Jews. And George said, no, there are a few, but they're mostly Christian. And then the doctor said, well, there's also Armenian Muslims. And George was like, no, there's no Armenian Muslims. And then they started getting into this like sort of little argument. And they started calling each other Haji. I asked him what that meant. It was some kind of term of endearment. I don't really, no Haji. Then the doctor would go, no Haji, I believe there is. And then the George would go, no Haji, listen, I know. I'm Armenian. I know that there are no Armenian Muslims. And the Haji, you sure? Because I think, I'm telling you, sir, Haji, it is not possible. It is not possible for a Muslim, Armenian Muslim. And I'm going, these guys are so darn cute. They're so darn cute. I just want to squeeze them both. And so that was that. And then when I first got to the doctor's office, they have this receptionist who I thought was from Russia, but because her accent was kind of seemed Russian, but she's also from Iran. And she asked me my insurance, the name of my insurance company. I said PCIP. It's called PCIP. And she goes, PCP? And I go, no, not PCP, PCIP. PCP is a very dangerous drug, which I did way too many times when I was out there in the world doing dumb, stupid drug things. No, I'm no longer on or with PCP, but I'm with PCIP. Yo, I'm with PCIP, no longer PCP. That's the way I like to be. Okay, all right, let me see if there's anything else I want to say to you people here. I don't know. I guess that's pretty much it. So, am I nervous? Yes. Am I excited? Yeah, I'm kind of in that kind of, this sort of adventure. I've got this, I'm going on an adventure. Okay, it's a little bit of an adventure. It's certainly out of my comfort zone, right? I mean, come on. Please, everybody. But I do believe it's all gonna go well, And I know my family is concerned, and my good friends are concerned, but I got a lot of support here, and it's great, it's gonna be good, and I'm gonna get my mobility back, and I'm gonna do the other one. I'll be able to get back on stage and do stand up, which I'm I don't want to do it in a wheelchair, and I don't want to do it with a freaking cane. Although I might go up at some open mics at some point, if this right hip is really strong, and I'm able to get around, maybe I'll have to use a cane. I might go to some coffee houses just to spit into a mic, just to do it because I haven't gotten up. But otherwise, I'll wait till I get the other one done. And, and that's that. So as far as, my podcast, I don't know. They're telling me that I won't be in the hospital no more. We'll be in the hospital no more than two nights. So I have a feeling that if that's the case, I will probably record another podcast depending on, the level of pain I'm in or discomfort, sometime maybe around this time next week again, I'm hoping. And then, and that'll be that. So I want to thank everybody who listens to my podcast. I found out that a very nice, sweet neighbor of mine, who I've known for so long, I didn't realize, I was talking to her the other day, and she told me she listened to my podcast, and she said she's listened to every episode. And I was like, oh my God, I was like so touched and moved. And I asked her, why didn't she tell me that before? And she said she didn't want to, make me self-conscious because it was so kind of funny, because when she did say it, when she said that, my first thought was like, oh my God, I hope I didn't say anything really crazy about her. I did do a bit about her family, but the thing is, most of the stuff I would say I do on here, I would tell the people to their face. So I don't think it's, if I had a momentary thing like, oh, I hope I didn't, but so I said, hey, no, I'm really glad that you listen. And so it really makes me feel good. So again, I want to thank her. I want to thank everybody who listens and all those who will listen. Oh, I know. I have one other thing I want to talk about. The iTunes store. One other thing. The iTunes store saga continues. I could Bill came over and it looked good and it didn't get in. It didn't get in for whatever reason. So I was talking to this lady who may help me kind of market social media, my comedy and my podcast and all that. And so I was asking her if she knew how to get in the iTunes store, and she said she didn't, but she suggested a comedian friend of ours, of mine, and she was a client of hers, has a 16-year-old son who's a techie. Oh, gosh, this sounds so perfect, right? A 16-year-old who's a techie. I mean, these kids are born this way now. They're the evolution of, my generation was born to watch TV, turn on a freaking TV and watch it. This kid, they come, ready to do business technologically. So she said, I suggested I talk to him. So I called my friend and I asked if I could speak to his son regarding this. And so his son got on the phone and he told me that he has not been able to, because his dad's got like a little podcast thing too, like a short one. He does these little three minute rants, riffs. And so, the kid told me that, his name is Noah. I'll give him his, he said that, he hasn't been able to figure it out, but that he was thinking about it because he doesn't want to get his dad in there. And so if he figures it out, he'll let me know. And I'm thinking, how ridiculous is this? If this is really ridiculous. I mean, I see tons of podcasts that are in the iTunes store. Somebody knows how to do this, but the fact that even a kid like this is having trouble, and there's nowhere to call, everything's email, and I thought about this. This is going to be an outdated phrase. It probably already is. It isn't just yet, but it will be soon. You're never going to hear this anymore. I'd like to speak to your manager, because you're not going to be able to speak to anybody. You're going to email somebody. It's just, I think we need a balance of brick and mortar businesses and online. Okay. All right, enough of that. So again, thank you, people who listen and wish me luck, wish me well. Send me good thoughts, prayers, whatever you want to do. But until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.